You say that every year, and my answer is the same every year. Absolutely not. You already do more than enough. I'm not taking advantage of you like that. I knew he would say that, but I had to offer. Don't try to pull some secret shit with me either, he added. If a big anonymous check comes in from anyone other than SB, I'll know. Bloody hell. Finley was stubborn as hell, but his convictions were what made him a great leader. Pride battled guilt for dominance. Was I going to fuck over Finley and the kids because I couldn't set aside my rivalry for one weekend? I may know someone, I finally said. The admission tasted bitter on my tongue. I can't guarantee he'll agree to play, but I'll ask. If he says no, we'll have to sub in Ricky. Finley and I winced in unison. Ricky was their operations coordinator. He was a nice guy, and he played football in a local amateur league. He just wasn't good. At all. The last time he subbed in for a player, he accidentally tripped one of his teammates and scored for the opposing team. Twice. Please, Finley said. You'll have our gratitude forever. After I ended our video call, I leaned back and stared at my office ceiling. The damn defender. I couldn't ask him directly. He'd shut me down before I opened my mouth. I would have to go through Scarlett, which was tricky considering he didn't know about us yet. We'd decided to tell him in person together after he officially returned to London. Scarlett and I had been training together all summer. It would make sense for us to develop a friendship, so her asking him a favor for me wasn't inherently suspicious. The clock ticked toward 8. I was running out of time. Fuck it. I bit the bullet and called her. I hated interrupting her girls' night, but I didn't have a choice. Hey, I'm sorry to bother you, but I have a time-sensitive favor to ask, I said when Scarlett picked up. Any chance you could convince your brother to play in the charity match tomorrow?
Chapter 32. Scarlett. I didn't know how, but I did it. Well, okay, I kind of knew how. A guilt trip. A group photo of cute kids wearing their Sport for Hope provided football kits, and a promise to let him choose our next 4 dinners in a row worked wonders in getting Vincent to sign up for the charity match. I suspected having Asher owe him one helped as well. Knowing my brother, he'd never let Asher forget it. Regardless, I was thrilled Vincent said yes. I knew how much the charity meant to Asher, especially given its connection to Teddy, and hopefully the match would be a first step toward my brother and my boyfriend tolerating each other. So Vincent wasn't suspicious of you asking a favour for Asher? Karina followed me to our front row seats in the bleachers. The charity match took place at a local football stadium, and it was already packed with families. Nope, he bought my excuse that I was the messenger and that Asher asked me to ask him because it was an emergency. When exactly are you going to tell him about you two? Brooklyn took the seat on the other side of me. It didn't take much convincing to get them both to come to the match today. Karina was always down for a fun outing, and Brooklyn was apparently a football fan. You said next week? That's the plan. My stomach danced with nerves as the players filed onto the field for warm-ups. I spotted Asher and Vincent immediately. The two teams were divided into colours, the reds versus the greens. Asher and Vincent both sported red kits, and the crowd's excitement reached an audible crescendo when people noticed who was on the pitch. They studiously pretended the other didn't exist, but at least they weren't actively picking arguments with each other. I tamped down a laugh when I noticed how they performed the exact same stretches at the exact time in the exact same manner. Like I said, they were more alike than they cared to admit. God, he's even dreamier on the pitch than he is off of it. Karina sighed when Asher sank into a calf stretch. His leg muscles flexed and half our section released similar sighs. You're a lucky, lucky girl. Her tone indicated she was teasing me more than anything else. She had a visual appreciation for athletes, but when it came to dating, her type ran toward the artsy, angsty segment of the male population. Shh. I cast a nervous glance around us. We were surrounded by parents who were more concerned with keeping foreign objects out of their toddler's hands than with our conversation, but there were a few members of the local press lurking around. I didn't want any of them to overhear. Lower your voice. At least the Paps weren't here. They didn't know Vincent would be playing today, and they clearly thought a charity match for kids wasn't a right breeding ground for scandal. Calling your brother to play a match with his rival slash your secret lover is a boss move, Brooklyn whispered. You have balls. I respect it. You deserve a feature story in Mode de Vie. Karina giggled while I fought an exasperated sigh. I don't want a feature story in Mode de Vie or any other outlet. I just want to bone your man all the way to Sunday and back again. Brooklyn tossed me a devilish grin. Understandable. Totally understandable. Karina leaned over me to give the American a high five. You have a way with words, Brooke. Thank you. Brooklyn beamed. I try. I scowled. You know what? I'm sorry I introduced you guys. This, I gestured to the both of them as they laughed at my expense, is unacceptable. As I predicted, Karina and Brooklyn instantly hit it off when they met in person last night. I figured they would, but part of me had worried Karina would feel weird about me introducing someone new into our tight-knit duo. However, they took to each other like ducks to water. Unfortunately, that meant they sometimes ganged up on me, which I did not appreciate. Oh, you know we love you. Karina tossed an arm around my shoulders. Would we be real friends if we didn't take the piss out of you for your soap opera of a life? Yeah, some of our lives are boring. We have to live vicariously through you. Brooklyn crossed her legs, the picture of effortless cool with her high ponytail, gold hoops, and giant sunglasses. The only thing that would make today more interesting is if Asher and Vincent got into a fight. Not that they would, she said when I blanched. No one wants to derail a charity match for kids. It's bad press. Don't even put that thought out there. I eyed the pitch again. Asher and Vincent were still ignoring each other, thank God. It could very well happen. If it does, whose side would you be on? Karina asked Brooklyn. Team Asher or Team Vincent? The blonde wrinkled her nose. No team. I like the sport, not the players. They're way too full of themselves. It was a quintessentially Brooklyn answer. We'd texted constantly since the night we met, but I still didn't know much about her. I knew she grew up in California, she was an aspiring nutritionist, and she could rock a ponytail like no other, but that was about it. She had an impressive talent for carrying on a full conversation without revealing anything about herself. I agree, I said. Take it from someone who's related to one. Way too full of themselves. Karina arched an eyebrow. This coming from the girl dating a player. Well, I caught Asher's eye when he scanned the crowd, his gaze skimming over the different sections until it found me. 1,000 fluttering wings filled my chest. He's different. My friends let out good-natured groans, but I didn't care. The world narrowed to pools of intense green and the heat of Asher's stare. Electricity buzzed to life between us, slipping beneath my skin and setting every nerve ending on fire. We couldn't do much with my brother and 1,000 other people present, but we didn't need to. It wasn't about what we said or did, it was about what we felt. Then, right before the teams finished their warm-ups, Asher grinned and winked. It happened so fast I would have missed it had I not already been looking at him, but it was enough. 1,000 wings multiplied into 1,000,000, and I couldn't keep an answering grin off my face as the players took their places for kickoff. When I finally looked away, my friends were staring at me with amusement. It's so sweet, it's disgusting, Brooklyn said. I want it. I don't, Karina said. I never get any work done. So real. I pointedly stayed out of their conversation, which petered out as the match started. We screamed and cheered for the Reds and groaned when the Greens scored a goal. The players were a mix of top-level professionals and hobbyists. It made for an uneven match at times, but the crowd's enthusiasm and the buzzy atmosphere was so much fun that no one seemed to mind. It was also the first match where we saw what Asher and Vincent were capable of when they weren't at each other's throats. Maybe it was the relatively low stakes or the fact they were playing for charity. Whatever it was, they played so well together that the Reds dominated the first half. The combination of Ash's offense and Vincent's defense resulted in two goals that roused the stadium into a fit of pandemonium. Then disaster struck. Less than a minute into the second half, one of the Reds fouled one of the Greens. The Green player crumpled to the ground, and the cheers cut off so abruptly it was like someone had pressed mute on 1,000 people. The two sides swarmed the ref, their hands gesticulating wildly as they argued with the stern-faced man. I couldn't hear what anyone was saying, but no one looked happy. Asher and Vincent wore matching scowls, and after maybe a minute of heated discussion, the ref shook his head. He'd made his decision. Greens got a penalty kick. Someone helped the injured player off the pitch, and there was another small commotion when the Greens indicated they were subbing in a new player. I squinted, trying to make out the new player's face. When I did, my heart plummeted to my toes. A cold sensation crawled down my throat and filled my lungs. No fucking way. Karina verbalized my sentiments exactly. She grabbed my arm, her eyes the size of dinner plates. I hadn't seen the sub during warm-ups. I didn't know why he was at the match or why he was in London, period, but there was no mistaking that dark hair or cocky smile. My stomach curdled with disbelief as he jogged onto the pitch. Of all the people who could have subbed in for the injured Green player, it had to be him, Rafael Pessoa, my ex-boyfriend. Asher and Vincent's heads snapped toward him like lions sensing prey. Their bodies went rigid and identical shadows darkened their faces. Oh no, oh no, 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 no. This is not good, Karina said. This is not good at all. Brooklyn's brow puckered. She didn't know about Raphael, so she had no clue why we were freaking out. Why? What's wrong? Well, my mouth tasted like pennies. I think you're going to get that fight you were hoping for.
Asher. What is he doing here? Vincent spat from his spot beside me. I wasn't sure who he was talking to, since he wasn't aware I knew about Scarlett and Raphael, but I replied with the obvious anyway. He's a sub. No shit. I mean, what's he doing here at the match? They were the first words we'd exchanged all day. We'd greeted each other with stiff nods in the locker room, and I suppose I had to thank him later for agreeing to play at the last minute. However, I preferred to live in denial about that for as long as possible. Was it mature? No. Did I care? Also no. I didn't have an answer for why Raphael was in London when he lived in Brazil and played in Spain, but one of the other Reds piped up with an explanation. I heard he's thinking of transferring back to the Premier League. Maybe he heard about the match and wanted to participate, he said. A low growl rumbled through my chest. I'd never been a big fan of Raphael. But after Scarlett told me about the shitty, cowardly way he broke up with her, I despised that man with every fucking fiber of my being. Judging by Vincent's scowl, he felt the same way. He regarded the Brazilian forward with more loathing than he'd ever directed toward me. The match resumed, cutting our conversation short, but a new tension suffocated the pitch. The first half had been for fun. This half was for vengeance. I didn't want to win against the Greens. I wanted to crush them. Unfortunately, despite his arseholishness in his personal life, Raphael was a good player, and he managed to score with a header 10 minutes into the half. Frustration poured through my blood. Raphael and I matched each other step for step for possession of the ball. I triumphed after I successfully kicked the ball away from him and caught it before another player could swoop in, but I barely had time to gloat before he fell to the ground, clutching his knee. The ref blew his whistle, and the match paused. Boos rose from the crowd.
He tripped me,
Raphael said when the ref came over to investigate. He gestured toward me, his eyes gleaming with... Were those tears?
Jesus Christ, he should quit football and go into acting.
That's bollocks, I didn't touch him, I fumed. Vincent came up beside us.
Ref, you saw that play, we all did,
he argued. He pointed at Raphael.
He always pulls this crap. Like Donovan said, he didn't touch him.
Either he wanted to win enough to swallow his distaste and defend me,
or he simply hated Raphael more than he hated me, or both. I cut a glance in his direction. It was ironic Vincent was backing me up on this when he'd done the same thing as Raphael during the World Cup. In fact, what he did had been a million times worse. The difference between getting red carded in the World Cup and giving the opposing team a penalty kick during a charity match was the difference between Mount Everest and a molehill. However, Raphael had a history of diving, aka falling to the ground and/or feigning injury in order to draw a foul. Vincent only did it once, on the biggest stage possible with the worst consequences for me imaginable, but it was still once. Sadly, our combined efforts weren't enough to convince the ref. He awarded the Greens another penalty kick. They'd missed their last one, but this time, Raphael kicked the ball firmly into the net. The Greens were now up, 3-2. I clenched my jaw. God damn it. It was a charity match, but the stakes felt as high as those of a championship. I refused to let Raphael Bloody Pessoa take home a win. The mere thought caused bile to rise in my throat. Even if he hadn't screwed Scarlett over, I would have hated him. Maybe it was my lingering bitterness from the World Cup, but I firmly believed that any player who engaged in regular diving didn't deserve a place on the pitch. Tough luck, Raphael said the next time we were close enough for him to shit-talk without anyone else hearing. Guess the golden boy of football isn't so golden anymore. Can't wait to follow Holchester's footsteps and kick your and Dubois's asses. I shouldn't take the bait. Players trash-talked each other all the time, and I was usually pretty good at letting their taunts roll off my back. However, my frustration over the direction of the match and the ref's earlier calls had already reached a furious simmer. The mention of Holchester turned it into a full boil. I might still have been able to contain it had I not glanced at the crowd and seen Scarlett in that moment. A worried expression blended with the image of her face when she shared what had happened with Raphael. How forlorn she'd seemed, and how sad she'd sounded. She said their breakup turned out for the best, but no one liked being abandoned when they were at their lowest. I pictured her lying in bed and in pain while he ditched her to date someone else. I imagined how heartbroken she must have felt. And I snapped. Red crept into my vision. Anger burned reason into ash, and instead of brushing off Raphael's taunt, I turned and shoved him hard enough to make him stumble. At that moment, we weren't playing a match. We were fighting for real, and I wanted nothing more than to wipe that smug smirk off his face. A collective gasp reverberated through the stadium. Raphael recovered and spat out something in Portuguese. He shoved me back. Vincent grabbed the back of my shirt to prevent me from punching him. But when Raphael issued another taunt that I couldn't hear, he let out a growl and released me. Vincent swung for him and would have made contact had another Green not stepped in at the last minute. The rest of our teams jumped in, blinded by their temporary loyalty to their colours. From there, it devolved into a dirty, all-out brawl. The crowd's shouts thundered across the pitch, drowning out a flurry of swear words and threats. What is your problem? Raphael shouted. My problem is you! I had more choice words for him, none of which were appropriate for the venue. But before I could unload on him, a shrill, prolonged whistle cut through the chaos. Enough! The ref shoved his way into the middle of the brawl. He'd been trying to get us under control for the past 2 minutes, and he'd clearly had enough. The man's face matched the color of my kit as he glared at us, his shoulders quivering with outrage. This is a charity match for kids, he hissed. I don't care who you are or what bad blood you have. This is a bloody disgrace. Look at them. Do you think you're setting a good example for them right now? I followed his finger to where a group of kids sat in the front row. They ranged from maybe 6 to 13 in age, but they all wore matching Sport for Hope t-shirts and round-mouthed expressions of shock. Shame snuffed out the hostility faster than rain over fire. My blood pumped with the dregs of fury, but the reminder of the children's presence and why I was doing this, for the kids, yes, but also for Teddy's memory, chastised me enough to step back from Raphael. The other players hung their heads, equally abashed. It wasn't a regulation match, so the ref couldn't red card us, but he awarded the Greens yet another penalty kick, since I was the one who made first contact. Once again, they scored. They were now up 4-2. That smug bastard, Vincent seethed beside me. Look at him! He thinks they're going to win! Raphael gave us a mocking two-finger salute from across the pitch, his smirk firmly back in place. Over my dead body. My hand curled into a fist. Let's take him down. A vicious smile slashed across Vincent's face. Best idea I've ever heard. Like the saying goes, the enemy of my enemy was my friend. For the next 30 minutes, we were united in our hatred of Raphael, and we played like we were vying for the World Cup again. Only this time, we were on the same team. Vincent blocked a pass from Raphael to another green. He kicked the ball to me, and I took it and ran. The goal was a foregone conclusion. The Greens' keeper barely had time to react before the ball sank deep into the net and the stadium erupted into cheers. Goal! The announcer dragged the word out over the loudspeaker. I allowed myself a spark of triumph. 3-4. Almost there.
Go Reds!
A familiar voice screamed over the crowd. My gaze snapped to the source, and an unfettered grin spread across my face when I saw Scarlett jump from her seat between Karina and a blonde whom I assumed was Brooklyn. I'd played in front of royalty, celebrities, and heads of state, but hearing Scarlett cheer for me beat every other match 1,000-fold. It wasn't even close. She waved, her face glowing. I almost waved back until I saw Vincent returning her greeting. He must have thought his sister was cheering for him alone. Right. No public displays of affection allowed yet. I shook off a twinge of disappointment and refocused on the match. A few minutes later, Vincent blocked a goal attempt by the other team. An audible wave of appreciation rippled across the bleachers. I hated to admit it, but the bastard really was good. Soon, we tied with the Greens again. 5 minutes left. All we needed was one more goal. 4 minutes. 3 minutes. I finally stole possession of the ball from Raphael. I kicked it from the left wing and... Goal! The stadium shook from the force of the audience's jubilation. The Greens never recovered. The clock wound down and we won 5-4. Yes! Vincent pumped his fist in the air. That's fucking right! The sweet thrill of victory streaked through my veins. It was blazing hot, I was dripping sweat, and I'd lost my temper in a deeply public way. But none of that mattered. We won. We'd raised a shit ton of money, and I got to savor Raphael's scowl as he slunk off the pitch. It was the perfect ending to a rocky day. I found Scarlett in the crowd again. She smiled at me, her face soft with pride and something else that made my pulse race. Vincent was too busy signing autographs to notice, so I let myself smile back. The noise around us dulled into an indistinguishable roar. No matter where we were or how many people surrounded us, she commanded my attention like a lighthouse in a storm. Bright, beautiful, unwavering. I started walking toward her, but a Sport for Hope employee shepherding the group of kids I saw earlier stopped me halfway.
Hi, Asher. I'm sorry to keep you. You must be exhausted,
she said apologetically.
But the kids are big fans and they'd like a few autographs and pictures. Is that okay?
Of course. Today's for them. I tore my gaze away from Scarlett and smiled at the group. They were adorable. Who wants a picture first? After much clamoring and excitement, I finished signing every autograph and taking every photo. By then, the stadium had emptied. But when I checked my phone, I saw a text from Scarlett saying she was by one of the side exits. I grabbed my duffel bag and headed to meet her. As promised, she was waiting in the area between the stadium and the car park. I didn't see Vincent, Karina, or Brooklyn, but my anticipation of stealing a few moments alone with her, as well as my warm and fuzzy feelings from interacting with the kids earlier, disappeared as soon as I saw who she was talking to. Raphael.
Chapter 33. Scarlett. I didn't expect a casual charity football match to devolve into a brawl. I didn't expect my brother and my secret non-boyfriend boyfriend to team up against my ex-boyfriend, though that was satisfying to watch. Most of all, I didn't expect said ex-boyfriend to seek me out after the match and try to hug me like he hadn't dumped me faster than yesterday's trash after my accident.
Scarlett, it's so good to see you.
He reached for me. I stepped back before he made contact. His smile faltered, but he recovered quickly.
You're here to support your brother, I see.
I responded with a tight curve of my lips. I may have released my bitterness toward him after extensive therapy, but that didn't mean I wanted to talk to him. Unfortunately, I was stuck here waiting for my brother, my friends, and Asher. Karina and Brooklyn were in the loo, and Vincent and Asher were probably still signing autographs. I hadn't wanted to sit alone in the stadium like a loser, so I hung around the exit instead. In hindsight, I should have stayed in the stadium. I didn't think Raphael would be bold enough to approach me in front of Vincent, especially after what happened on the pitch. How did he escape the people clamoring for pictures and autographs? He wasn't as famous as Asher and Vincent in the UK, but he was recognizable enough.
I just wanted to say hi,
Raphael said when I didn't encourage further conversation. He swept his eyes over me, his attention lingering on my bare legs and chest. Once upon a time, I would have been flattered. Now my skin crawled beneath his scrutiny.
You look great.
It's been 5 years, I said coolly. I've changed a lot since the last time we saw each other. Raphael winced at my pointed tone. How's Vicky? I asked even more pointedly. Vicky was the reality TV star he'd started dating almost immediately after our breakup.
Come on, Scar. You know I'm not with her anymore.
I hated when people called me Scar. Actually, I don't, I shrugged. I don't keep up with news about you. Sorry. Raphael's expression clouded. He was like Teflon when it came to certain things, but jab at his ego and his unflappability punctured faster than tires rolling over a bed of nails. Despite my desire to get away from him as fast as possible, I couldn't resist indulging one bit of curiosity. What are you doing here, anyway?
I'm in London taking care of some business,
he said vaguely.
An old teammate was participating in today's match and asked me to be their backup. Good thing I said yes, or they wouldn't have scored so many goals.
Smugness coated his words. Ugh. Had I really been in love with this man? What had younger me been thinking? Right, I said. But your team lost. Raphael's smile tightened.
Barely,
he said, rubbing his jaw.
I'm guessing your brother hasn't forgiven me for what happened.
No, which is why you should leave before he gets here. He ignored my warning.
I saw you in the stands and wanted to talk to you alone after the match. I was going to call you later, but since you're already here, I figured, why not?
I kept my mouth shut and my expression neutral.
I wanted to apologize for the way I handled things after your accident,
he said after several beats of silence.
I know it's been years since we've seen each other, but you're not the only one who's changed since then. I acted like a jerk, and I'm sorry.
I couldn't have been more surprised if he'd sprouted fairy wings and started tap dancing in the middle of the breezeway. Was Raphael Pessoa apologizing for something he did?
It's great to see you looking so good,
he added.
It's like the accident never happened.
A sudden, irrepressible wave of fury swamped my earlier surprise. It's like the accident never happened. No wonder he was so friendly and chatty. He probably saw me and thought I was being easy hookup now that I was back to normal. He also probably thought that I was the same girl who'd fallen head over heels for his cocky flashiness when I'd been too young and inexperienced to know better. What he didn't see were the years of surgery, therapy, and rehab I had to go through to get to where I was today. He didn't see my self-loathing spirals or the fatigue that kept me glued to my bed during my worst flare-ups. Even at that moment when I looked so good, I had little prickles and aches that formed an incessant hum in the background of my life. My symptoms were invisible, but they were real. Raphael didn't see any of that because he hadn't been there. He'd ditched me, then had the nerve to waltz up to me 5 years later like all was forgiven and forgotten. I forgave him for me, because I didn't want to stew in a toxic pool of resentment anymore. But I certainly didn't forget. Actually, Raphael, the accident did happen. Poisonous honey dripped from my voice. Remember when you saw me in the hospital for the first time and flinched? Remember how you told me I would feel better if I chose to? The honey congealed into cold, hard anger. Remember when you broke up with me after my first surgery because you said I needed space to heal on my own, then ran off to fuck the first girl you saw at the club? You framed it like you were doing me a favor, when in reality you were too much of a little shit to handle the fact that you were no longer the center of my world. You hated that I didn't make you the center of attention anymore, and that you didn't have a shiny trophy to show off in public. The color leached from Raphael's face.
That's not what—
I'm not finished, so don't interrupt me. The anger snapped inside me, teeth bared and claws elongated. For you to come up to me 5 years later and say it's like the accident never happened is the biggest fucking slap in the face. But you know, I shouldn't have expected anything more from you. You've always been a self-centered dick, and I'm sorry it took me so long to realize it. In hindsight, the only good thing you've ever done was break up with me. If you hadn't, I would have been stuck with you all this time, and that would have been a worse punishment than any pain or accident. The silence that followed my rant was so deep and all-encompassing, I could have heard a moth breathe. Raphael gaped at me, his face a mottled canvas of shock, anger, and the tiniest smidge of remorse. I'd never spoken to him like that before. I'd never spoken to anyone like that before, but my feelings had been pent up for years. They'd rattled inside me, repressed but unforgotten, until his appearance popped the cap off their prison. Once they were unleashed, there was no stopping them until they'd spent every last bit of their energy. Exhaustion settled into my bones, exhaustion and no small amount of pride. "We're done," I said, more calmly this time. "Don't try to contact me again." I'd waited years to give Raphael a piece of my mind. Now that I was ready to put him in my past once and for all. Unfortunately, he was either too arrogant or too stupid to realize I wasn't joking. He grabbed my arm when I attempted to brush past him. A sour feeling spread through my chest.
Scarlet, I was just—
Don't touch her!
My gaze flew to the right just in time to see Asher blaze a path toward us with Vincent hot on his heels. Oh, fuck. Raphael dropped my arm. Asher punched him. And everything went to hell. Again.
Chapter 34. Asher. In my defense, there were no kids around this time. Also, in my defense, Raphael deserved it. If I hadn't punched him, Vincent would have. I hadn't heard him walking behind me on my way out, but when Raphael grabbed Scarlett's arm, he was right there backing me up. I'd arrived in time to catch the tail end of her speech, and know she definitely didn't want Raphael touching her. If there was one thing I couldn't stand, it was a guy who couldn't take a hint. However, Vincent and I only got one punch in each before Finley stormed in out of nowhere and pulled us apart. Raphael left without pressing charges. The circumstances were too humiliating for him to contemplate making them public, and Finley dragged us back to the locker room to read us the riot act. As appreciative as he was of our participation today, he didn't hold back on ripping us a new one over the brawl on the pitch and over what happened with Raphael. A seeming eternity later, Vincent and I slunk out of the locker room, appropriately chastised.
"He was livid," Vincent said.
"Yeah, I had no idea his voice could reach that volume. It was impressive." "Mm-hmm." I flashed back to the satisfying crunch of my fist connecting with Raphael's face. "I don't regret it, though." A smirk broke out over Vincent's face.
"Absolutely not. Pessoa's China. That belongs in a Hall of Fame."
I chuckled. I couldn't wait for Raphael to try to explain away his black eye. His ego was probably more bruised than his face, and he deserved every second of discomfort. You did not go around grabbing women against their will. Period.
"Thank you for protecting my sister." Vincent added stiffly. The stadium had truly emptied by now, and the only sound was our footsteps echoing against the concrete floors. You didn't have to do that. If you only knew. You're welcome. I cleared my throat. Thank you for filling in at the last minute. You're welcome. We lapsed into silence again. We reached the exit and stood there, taking care not to look at each other while we waited for Scarlett and her friends to join us. Scarlett hadn't seemed too upset by us sucker-punching her ex, but Karina and Brooklyn had showed up in time to see Finley herding us to the locker room, the way a fed-up schoolteacher would herd his troublemakers to detention. I didn't know what the girls were doing. Debriefing each other on our absolute shitshow of a day, probably. At least we'd raised over £100,000 for Sport for Hope, if we included SB's donation match. 5 goals equaled 5 times the ticket sales. Vincent tapped his foot. I checked my watch. Awkward silence hummed. We weren't friends, but today's match and our united front against Raphael had eased some of the animosity that usually tainted the air between us. So, what the hell did we do now?
Did you guys get it all out of your system?
Scarlett's voice dispelled my cloud of uncertainty. She came up beside us, flanked by a wary-looking Karina and an amused Brooklyn. Vincent straightened beside me. Get what out of our system? I asked.
The overwhelming testosterone. You did not have to come up and sucker punch him like that.
She leveled us with a stern look. Vincent and I ducked our heads.
That being said...
Scarlett's mouth twitched.
It was quite satisfying to see it happen.
Our relieved grins broke out at the same time.
I even caught it on camera.
Karina waved her phone in the air.
In case we have a bad day and need a pick-me-up. Oh.
Brooklyn leaned over.
Can you send it to me? Totally. Thank you.
Scarlett said quietly as her friends huddled over the video of me punching Raphael.
Both of you. Like I said, you didn't have to go all out with a punch, but I appreciate you having my back.
Always. You're my baby sis. Vincent ruffled her hair. Someone messes with you, they mess with me.
Vince, what did I say about touching my hair?
She swatted his hand away, but a smile peeked through the creases of her annoyance. I remained silent. I didn't want to say what I was really thinking with Vincent there, so the words crowded in my throat, straining against the leash I'd snapped around them. I'll always have your back. Always. No matter what happens, there's nothing in this world that I won't do for you. Scarlett's gaze brushed mine. She stilled for a fraction of a second, her lips parting like she'd heard my silent promise loud and clear. A familiar buzz sprang to life beneath my skin. Just for a second, just until Brooklyn called out Scarlett's name, but it was enough to make every dip of today's roller coaster worth it.
The first cab's here,
Brooklyn said, checking her phone as a black car rolled up beside us.
We're celebrating at the Angry Boar.
Great, Vincent flashed her a smile. We can ride together. I don't believe we've met. I'm Scarlett's brother, Vincent.
I know who you are.
She didn't look up from her screen.
We're not riding together. You're riding with Asher.
Our smiles vanished in unison. What? Our voices overlapped over our glares.
We can't fit 5 in a car, so you boys are going first to snag us a prime table. We'll be right behind you.
Scarlett said brightly. Karina opened the door. Scarlett pushed us inside.
See you at the pub.
Brooklyn waggled her fingers at us.
Have fun and play nice.
We didn't get a chance to voice our outrage before Karina slammed the door shut and our driver sped off. What the hell just happened? Vincent asked, his voice soaked with disbelief. I wish I knew. I wiped a hand over my face, torn between annoyance, amusement, and pride. Don't ask questions. Just go along with it. Trust me, it's easier that way. Of course, our bloody driver got lost. London taxi drivers rarely got lost, but it was just our luck to be stuck with the one that did. One very long, very silent car ride later, Vincent and I finally arrived at the Angry Boar. The girls had already snagged one of the few coveted booths in the back, and we had to fight our way through the crowd to reach them. It was Saturday night, and the pub was packed. Music and alcohol flowed freely, and a few patrons had set up a makeshift dance floor next to the jukebox. Max slung drinks behind the bar with his trademark scowl, which deepened when he saw us enter. In fact, everyone noticed when we entered. Dozens of pairs of eyes followed our trek to the corner booth. If it weren't for the pub's rules, there'd be a million phones documenting this historic moment in football history. Asher Donovan and Vincent Dubois out on the town like best mates. Ha! Over my dead body.
It's about time,
Brooklyn said as we took our seats on either side of the circular booth. Me next to Scarlett, Vincent next to Brooklyn. Karina sat smack dab in the middle, her eyes glued to something on her phone.
Did you two enjoy your ride so much you extended it?
Don't push it, Blondie, Vincent said. You're cute, but not that cute. She smirked.
Was that why you wanted to ride with me earlier?
No, that was because I was already in a charitable mood and wanted to extend my generosity to you.
Children,
Scarlett murmured, as Vincent and Brooklyn continued to bicker.
I'm surrounded by children.
Don't lump me in with them, I said. I'm a mature adult.
Today is not the day for you to make that assertion.
I frowned. Fair enough.
How is the car ride?
Scarlett asked.
I see you're not sporting any fresh bruises, which is a good thing.
It was fine. Quiet. I ran a lazy hand over her thigh beneath the table. Her skin heated beneath my touch, and a smile flickered over my mouth when her breath hitched. I would have much rather been riding with you, though. She shifted, her eyes flicking over to where Brooklyn and Vincent were still bantering slash flirting slash whatever they were doing while Karina remained engrossed in her phone.
You were supposed to use that time to bond.
My hand stopped an inch above her knee and squeezed. Scarlett swallowed, her breath shallowing. He's not the one I want to bond with, darling. The soft, languid glide of my words landed with the feathery grace of a dancer, heavy enough to impact the vibrations of the air around us, but so light it only reached the person closest to me.
Asher.
Nerves twined with breathlessness.
Not here.
I hummed in disagreement. I stroked the inside of her thigh with my thumb, loving the way it tensed and flexed. A server approached our table. My hand lingered on Scarlett's leg for an extra beat before I discreetly, reluctantly, pulled away. Brooklyn and Vincent broke off their conversation to place their orders with the rest of us. Beer, burgers, and chips. The dinner of champions. Most pubs didn't have service, but we were seated in the dining area, and it was the weekend. The Angry Boar only supplemented their bar service with waiter service during the busiest nights.
So what's your beef with Pazor?
Vincent asked after our server left. My glass paused halfway to my lips. What?
Pazor, why did you shove him on the pitch? Even before he grabbed Scarlett, your vendetta seemed personal.
Karina finally looked up from her phone, while Scarlett stiffened. Waves of tension rolled off her rigid shoulders and white knuckles. I finished taking a sip of my water and used the time to think. I didn't have a publicly known problem with Raphael. Should I respond with an edited version of the truth and admit I knew about Scarlett's past with Pazoa? Was their relationship too intimate a part of her history for her to have shared with a casual friend? Because that was what Vincent assumed we were after Scarlett called him about the charity match on my behalf. Casual friends. I settled for a vague yet believable answer. He's a wanker, I said, and he dives too much. Vincent snorted.
Ah, yeah, he could win an Olympic gold medal in it.
Scarlett's tight-lipped mask splintered into a smirk, and I knew she was remembering the time when I said almost the exact same thing. I squeezed her leg again, this time in warning.
What about you?
I asked as she choked on her water. Why do you hate him so much? Vincent hesitated and glanced at his sister before replying.
It's a personal issue, but you're right, he is a wanker.
Unfortunately, my estimation of him inched up another notch. We'd overheard Raphael harassing Scarlett, but he didn't know if I was privy to the details, and he didn't spill them without her explicit consent. His consideration for his sister was one of the few unimpeachable facets of his personality.
Enough football talk, it's boring.
Brooklyn said when our server returned with our drinks and food.
Let's play a game. How about truth or dare?
No.
Scarlett and I shouted at the same time. Karina coughed into her fist while Vincent's eyebrows skyrocketed.
I mean, I don't want to do anything embarrassing in public,
Scarlett said. She pinned her friend with a hard stare.
You understand, right?
The last thing we needed was to inadvertently slip up during a drinking game.
Right.
Realization unfolded across Brooklyn's face.
Fine, let's play something else.
A smile returned in all its dazzling glory.
How do you guys feel about King's Cup?
2 hours and one deck of borrowed cards later, Brooklyn managed to charm even the uncharmable Mac into lending us the deck. We were drunk off our asses and laughing like we were longtime friends. It was amazing how beer and the high of winning could smooth even the rockiest of histories.
I asked around and found out how Simon injured his foot.
Vincent leaned forward, his eyes gleaming.
Guess. He kicked a wall too hard. No, it's even stupider than that.
He lowered his voice.
He was assembling a bookcase, and the thing toppled over onto his foot. He has to miss the first few matches of the season because of furniture.
I burst into laughter.
Ah, shut up!
Simon played for Liverpool, so it was easy for us to make light of his situation. Part of me sympathized because injuries were nerve-wracking, but his came from a bookcase, for Christ's sake.
I swear to God, that's what I heard.
Vincent held up one hand, his grin wide. Honestly, he wasn't that bad. He was almost tolerable. Or maybe that was the 5 pints of ale talking. I finished my current pint and caught Scarlett watching us with a small smile. We'd shuffled seats an hour ago, so she was sitting in between Karina and Brooklyn, while Vincent and I remained on opposite sides of the table. Her rosy cheeks and glittering eyes betrayed her tipsiness, but her smile was pure, authentic Scarlet. See? Best friends, she mouthed. I shook my head. Just because Vincent and I sort of got along when we were drunk didn't mean we were or ever would be best friends.
That girl is looking at you like you're a fucking Sunday roast.
Vincent's observation dragged my attention away from her. I followed his gaze toward a pretty brunette sitting two tables over. She was with a group of friends, and she blushed a deep red when she noticed me staring.
She's hot, Vincent said. You should dance with her.
A needle of paranoia punctured my buzz. Why was he suddenly playing matchmaker? Had he seen me smile at Scarlett, and this was his way of warning me away from his sister? But when I studied him, his face contained nothing but genuine encouragement. This wasn't a subtle dig. This was his way of returning the olive branch I'd offered with the charity invite, even if that branch had been tied to my selfish reason of needing a substitute player. Rejecting it out of hand would be rejecting his peace offering, but I sure as hell didn't want to dance with a random woman in a pub.
I don't feel like dancing, I said lightly.
You should talk to her instead.
I'm not the one she's eye-fucking. Come on,
Vincent grinned.
Let's liven things up a bit. Brooklyn and I will join you guys.
Excuse me.
Brooklyn crossed her arms.
How did I get dragged into this?
No, really.
I deliberately avoided looking at Scarlett again.
I'm not in the mood to chat someone up. Don't mess with me. When are you not in the mood to chat a hot girl up?
Vincent lifted his brow.
Do you have a secret girlfriend or something?
Scarlett choked on her drink for the second time that day.
Sorry,
she gasped.
My beer went down the wrong pipe.
Smooth, darling, very smooth.
What's up with you?
Vincent grabbed a napkin from the stack next to him and handed one to her.
You've been acting weird all night.
She mumbled an incoherent reply. He'd hit the nail a little too close to the head with the secret girlfriend comment. I had to nip his suspicion in the bud before he thought too hard about why I'd been so protective over Scarlett earlier and why she was so antsy around me.
You know what? You're right. I stood. It's a celebration. Let's dance.
The music from the jukebox changed to a more upbeat song. I forced myself to approach the brunette, whose friends erupted into giggles when I introduced myself. I chatted with them for a bit, but I couldn't bring myself to actually dance with her. Hopefully the flirting was enough to throw Vincent off our scent. I snuck a peek at him about 5 minutes into the conversation. He'd sandwiched himself between Brooklyn and Karina on the dance floor and wasn't paying me an ounce of attention. Thank God. My gaze traveled further across the pub until it landed on Scarlett, who watched me from the bar.
Do you want to get out of here?
The brunette touched my arm.
My flat isn't far.
Scarlett's cheeks flushed, and she quickly glanced away. I wished I remembered the brunette's name. I didn't, but I did let her down gently before I extricated myself from her disappointed clique. I came up behind Scarlett, who didn't turn around even when I grazed my hand over her lower back. A thick crowd separated us from the dance floor and blocked Vincent's direct view of us.
Done talking to the Megan Fox clone?
She asked without looking at me. It would appear so. I came up next to her and suppressed a smile at the sight of her adorable pout. Jealous?
No, why would I be jealous?
Exactly. There's no reason to be jealous, darling. I was only talking to her because Vincent was getting suspicious. You're the only one I want. I touched her back again, her warmth searing through her shirt and into my skin. She was always so contained that a part of me relished in her jealousy. To know she cared and that she wanted me as much as I wanted her, it was intoxicating. When we leave, I'll show you exactly how much.
Sure.
Scarlett sounded indifferent, but I detected a trace of breathlessness when my palm slid from the small of her back to the curve of her waist. We were packed too tightly for anyone to notice what we were doing, and everyone was too drunk to care anyway.
Will you flirt with me as much as you did with her?
If you want. I lowered my head, my voice dipping into a murmur. But what I really plan to do is strip you naked, lay you down on your bed, and tongue-fuck you until you forget your own name. Scarlett's breath stuttered to a brief halt. And once I've made you come all over my face, I tightened my grip around her waist. I'm going to pound my cock into your sweet little pussy and make you scream in that pretty way I love so much. Her fingers curled around the edge of the bar. The blush decorating her face and chest was so intense, I could practically feel the heat pouring off of it. I straightened and spoke at my normal volume again.
Hey, Mac! Can we get some more food?
I flagged down the scowling owner before I glanced at Scarlett. My mouth curled into a small grin.
What are you in the mood for? Another burger or fish and chips?
She made a strangled noise. I swallowed the laugh rumbling up my throat.
I'll say fish and chips. Two, please. Thanks, Mac.
You're diabolical,
she said when he left.
You can't say stuff like that and then pretend nothing happened.
Trust me, I know it happened. My steel-hard erection was proof of that. Thank God I was standing at the bar, or I'd have some explaining to do. Hopefully we could leave soon without making our intentions obvious. We'd stayed long enough. I'm also serious. I don't make promises I don't keep. Dark velvet touched my words. Scarlett blushed again right as Vincent popped up out of fucking nowhere. He took one look at her and frowned.
Why are you so red? He asked. Did you drink tequila again? Because you know you can't handle that type of alcohol. Don't think I forgot about the time you threw up over my brand new Nintendo because you took one too many Jose Cuervo shots.
No.
She squeaked.
It's not tequila. It's just, really hot in here.
I coughed out a laugh and she kicked me under the bar. Hard.
Okay, whatever.
Drunk Vincent didn't question my proximity to his sister the way sober Vincent would have. He barely glanced at me as he grabbed another pint from Mac.
Acting weird all night,
he muttered on his way back to the dance floor. Scarlett and I exchanged glances. We had to tell Vincent about us soon, but I allowed myself to enjoy the night for what it was, a celebration with friends and a new frenemy after a hard-earned win. The day had been a mess almost from the start, but I couldn't deny that this was one of the best nights I'd had in a while. It was normal. Scarlett was with me. And that was all I needed.
Chapter 35. Scarlet. If someone told me at the beginning of the summer that Asher and Vincent would spend a night drinking and hanging out together peacefully, I would have asked what they were smoking. The idea was absurd. However, their brief truce on Saturday gave me hope that they could not only tolerate each other, but that they might actually be friends. They just had to set aside their pride and admit their rivalry was played out. At this point, they were holding on to their grudges for ego. I didn't say any of that to them. They had to figure it out themselves. Vincent returned to Paris that morning to wrap up his affairs, but he'd be back next Monday. That meant Asher and I had 1 week left to enjoy our alone time together. Or so I thought.
I have some news,
Asher said, his face unusually somber as I finished up practice. I'd run through the first half of Lorena's third act after his training today. I hadn't danced in Yvette's place again during rehearsal since my disastrous debut, but I'd worked on the choreography in bits and pieces like Asher had suggested. So far, I wasn't pushing myself past my limits, and I felt pretty good about my progress. However, my thrill at nailing the third act faded at his tone. Good news or bad news? I asked, warily. If it was good news, he'd look happier, but if it was bad news, he'd be more upset, right?
It depends on how you look at it.
Asher rubbed a hand over his face.
I have to go to Japan this week. Aoki Watches is my biggest sponsor, and they want to fly me out to do some press and promo for the launch of their spring collection.
A grimace crossed his face.
I got the email from my manager this morning. We were originally supposed to shoot the promos later this year, but a scheduling conflict came up, and they had to shift everything last minute.
Japan? I sucked in a short breath. That wasn't a quick trip to, say, France or Italy. That was halfway across the world. How long is the trip?
3 days. I leave on Wednesday.
Wednesday? That was in 2 days, which meant he'd be gone until Sunday. That ate up the full remainder of our time together before Vincent's return. Oh. I swallowed past the irrational lump in my throat. That'll be fun. I shouldn't be upset. It wasn't like I'd never see him again, and it was ridiculous to feel like Asher was abandoning me because it wasn't his choice to leave. At the same time, it was the end of an era. The summer had changed everything. My self-esteem, my willingness to leave my comfort zone, my relationship with others and myself. It was our little bubble against reality, and I wasn't mentally ready for it to just end without a proper send-off. We had 1 week. I'd prepared for that. I'd planned for that. Now we had 2 days, including today. Maybe not even that, since he probably needed to spend tomorrow packing and prepping for his trip. Asher's face clouded at whatever he heard in my voice.
Scarlet.
Make sure to eat all the food for me. Ramen, sushi, matcha, and beef. Kobe beef is world famous, right? I bet their fish and steak is amazing. Will you be in Tokyo? You should visit some of the temples if you have time. They look beautiful. I prattled on, hoping the words would bulldoze over the hollow cavern in my chest. The time difference will be killer, but if you don't FaceTime me at least once to show me the sights, I'll never forgive you. Oh, and I—
Scarlet.
I stopped, slightly out of breath from my rambling. Yes?
Come with me.
Come with you to where?
To Japan.
My lips parted. Surely he was joking. I can't go with you to Japan.
Why not?
Because I have a job. I have practice. I floundered, trying to come up with other reasons and failing. I can't just drop everything and fly to another continent with you. What will I tell Vincent? He'll be suspicious for sure.
Vincent isn't here. By the time he finds out, we'll have told him about us already,
Asher said calmly.
I also asked Karina about your schedule after I found out about the trip. She mentioned you had quite a few days of holiday leave you need to take before summer's end, or you'll lose them. Where better to enjoy them than in Japan? With me.
His roguish grin matched the teasing sparkle in his eyes. Typical Asher. But I couldn't be mad because he was right. I hadn't taken a proper holiday in too long, and Japan was on my bucket list. I don't know. My reflection stared back at me from the studio's mirrors.
its face racked with indecision. Leaving for Asia with less than 48 hours' notice is wild. Asher noticed the crack in my shield and pounced.
You know what they say. Spontaneity is the spice of life.
His expression gentled when I didn't reply.
If you really don't want to go, you don't have to. But if you're concerned about work, Corina said she can squeeze in your holiday and find someone to cover you.
As Lavinia's executive assistant, Corina was in charge of overseeing the staff's schedules.
Aoki is also flying us out on the company jet, so we don't have to worry about being spotted in the airport. I can bring a plus one, so they'll also cover your expenses, and the Japanese press won't hound us the way the Paps do here. I have a bunch of work obligations while I'm there, but I'll have free time too. We'll actually be able to enjoy ourselves without looking over our shoulders every minute of the day.
I drew my bottom lip between my teeth. That did sound nice. Asher and I made our relationship work in London, but we spent half our time hiding out in one of our houses, and the other half hoping people wouldn't see past his disguises when we were out and about. We couldn't hold hands or kiss in front of other people. Even in safe spaces like the Angry Boar, we were constantly on alert for eavesdroppers. I wanted to experience what it was like to be a normal couple with him. In the end, that was what sold me. Not the private jet, not the all-expenses-paid trip to Tokyo, but the prospect of simply spending more time with him. Okay, I said, torn between nerves and excitement. Let's go to Japan. I'd visited Asia only once in my life. My parents took Vincent and me to Disneyland Shanghai before their divorce, but I was so young I only retained vague recollections of a pink castle and the fairy-like sugariness of candy floss. Tokyo was the polar opposite of that sweet, hazy childhood memory. Glittering skyscrapers and giant neon signs draped across the skyline like jewels adorning a crown. The streets teemed with people, and the energy of the city pulsed with such vibrancy it seeped through our car windows and reverberated in my bones. It was electric. It was frenetic. It was incredible. Asher's publicist, Sloane, met us on the tarmac when we landed. Blonde, statuesque, and intimidating as hell, she issued orders and shepherded us through the city and into our penthouse hotel suite with the brusque efficiency of a 4-star military general. I didn't know what Asher told her about me, but she didn't question why her star client popped up in Japan with his summer trainer in tow. "Here's a detailed itinerary for the next 3 days," she said, handing Asher a thick sheaf of stapled, color-coordinated papers. "Call time is at 7 a.m. tomorrow. I'll be here at 6:15 sharp to make sure you're awake and ready. If you need anything, call, text, or email in that order. If it's a true emergency, find me in my room. I'm staying in 805.
Got it.
He took the papers without looking at them.
You know, it's still early in the evening. You should hit the spa for a massage or something. My treat.
Sloane's mouth pursed. If anyone looked like they needed a massage, it was her. But she didn't.